Last time we were together on the pastor study, we began to look at three places mentioned in Scripture: Alexandria, Egypt, and Antioch. And we were looking at some things about Alexandria, and I want to pick up there. Where we last left off in our discussion on Alexandria, Egypt. Now, not that it matters what the world thinks of a subject, but the dictionary casts some light on Alexandria also. Out of early Alexandria, Egypt, came Plato, Philo, and other men that were later known as philosophers. Out of these men came what is known as mystical religions, such as Neoplatonism. This area is also where your Eastern religions are stated to have come from. Today, the primary religion for Alexandria, Egypt, is Muslim. After tracing anything to do with Alexandria, Egypt in the dictionary, amen, nothing but mysticism, false religion, philosophy, etc., have come from this area of the world. Philosophy, amen, seekers of wisdom. And in fact, philosophy is nothing than man's attempt to outthink God, amen. Now, we just saw in our discussion on Alexandria, Egypt, that every mention of Alexandria was not good. Now, for the last city we'll look at is Antioch. Now, the first mention of Antioch is on a good note and continues all such throughout the book of Acts. It starts off when the apostles were looking for men to help in the church in Acts chapter 6 and verses 3 to 5, and continues on through with a great movement of people getting saved. The movement continues with this town being the town where the people were first called Christians. It continues with the first real missionary journey being started, and we see that in Acts chapter 13 and verses 1 to 3. The journey goes from Antioch and returns to Antioch in Acts chapter 14 and verses 25 to 28. In fact, the folks from Antioch send support money to the folks in Jerusalem in Acts 11. Chapter 11 and verses 29 to 30. Why? Why do they have to do that? Because this area was being blessed of God, since they were carrying out the Great Commission as repeated in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. We also see that the second great missionary journey starts in Antioch in Acts chapter 15 verses 35 to 40. Now, in Acts chapter 6, in verse 5, we see a lot of times, we'll see that people say this is where the first deacons were selected, amen? We know that this is the first instance where men were called out to help in the church, amen, to act as a servant. The only city to be mentioned is Antioch. Amen. The first instance in Acts 6:5, the first deacons were selected looking for men to help in the church to act as servants. And the only city to be mentioned is Antioch, a good occurrence. Amen. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 5, we read in the Word of God, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. Men were said to be filled, we see here, with the Holy Ghost. Men of an honest report and full of wisdom. Amen. And then in Acts chapter 11, in verses 19 through 21, men were out and about preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see, plus many were saved. Another good note. Amen. Let's read together in Acts 11, beginning in verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. And then we see in Acts chapter 11 in verses 22 to 24, Barnabas is sent to Antioch from Jerusalem to find out what they are doing. He finds that the grace of God was upon the city, and he was glad. They were a-shouting, amen. They loved the Lord in Antioch. Another good note, another good occurrence. Look with me, if you would, in Acts chapter 11 and verses 22 to 24. We read in the Word of God, "Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came, and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord." In Acts chapter 11, in verses 25 to 26, Barnabas goes to Tarsus to get Saul. Saul was sent to Tarsus from Jerusalem after his conversion. Paul was saved in Acts chapter 9, and by the end of the chapter was preaching about Christ. However, the disciples were afraid of him and did not believe him. You would be afraid too. One week this man is persecuting Christians. The next week he's preaching Christ. Barnabas tries to clear it up between the apostles and Paul. But off Paul goes to Tarsus. He is on fire for God. And Barnabas was a great help in the life of Paul here. Acts chapter 11, in verse 26, this is the first mention of Christians, which is a good note, another good occurrence with Antioch. Acts chapter 11, in verse 26, we read in the Word of God, "And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people." Now here it is now. "And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Amen. So there's a difference between just being saved and being a Christian. A Christian is a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Then we read in Acts chapter 11. In Acts chapter 11 in verses 27 to 28. We read how prophets from Jerusalem go to Antioch, and the town is still on fire for God. Acts chapter 11 and verses 27 and 28. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then in Acts chapter 11, and verses 29 to 30, we see money is sent back home. God is blessing the work in Antioch. What happened back home in Jerusalem? We see that Antioch has another good associated to it. Antioch is able to support the work at Jerusalem instead of the other way around. And I wonder why. Well, I believe it's because God told the church not to hang at Jerusalem, but to go out. You know? He said that he would give them a power. He would give them Holy Ghost power to witness. Amen. Not just in Jerusalem. Amen. But in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. But there were a lot there that were just wanting to hang out in Jerusalem, amen, and instead of obeying the Lord's command, the commission to go, amen, and preach the gospel to every creature. We read in Acts chapter 11 and verses 29 to 30, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwell in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Then in Acts chapter 15, in verses 23 to 27, we see that the second missionary journey started in Antioch with Paul and Silas. Note how Barnabas is used in the life of John Mark. Again, in Acts chapter 15, in verses 23 to 27. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren, send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles, in Antioch, in Syria, and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying, ye must be circumcised, and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you, with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that hazard their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. Barnabas is used greatly in the life of Paul and John Mark. Barnabas had a great influence on Paul. He went and helped him in Acts chapter 9. When others did not want to believe he was a saved man, Barnabas saw something in this young convert and helped to cultivate him. Barnabas, when given the opportunity again, and he worked with the young John Mark. We know that Paul wrote 14 books of the New Testament, and John Mark wrote the Gospel of Mark. Barnabas had a part in the life of the two men that wrote most of the New Testament. All of this centered around the city, Antioch. We want to view this study that we've just done on Egypt and Alexandria and Antioch as a court case. You have the evidence in front of you. Which would you want to get your Bible from? Egypt, that hath nothing but bad news associated with it? Alexandria, only mentioned 4 times in the Bible, and nothing good is associated with it? Or do you want to get your Bible from Antioch, where nothing but good was mentioned? I don't know about you, but I take Antioch. I will take a Bible derived from Antioch. The King James text was translated from the text that came from Antioch, the received text known as the Textus Receptus. We're going to move into a new area of study as we continue these studies on the King James Bible here. We're going to move into a new area. I want us first to look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy in chapter 3. And I want us to look at the verses 14 through 17. 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 through 17. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let's notice a few things from our text. First, we see that Timothy knew the Holy Scriptures from the time he was a child. Then we see that Scriptures made him wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Next, our text tells us that Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and also that Scripture is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. And then finally, Scripture is needed for the man of God. Well, in this next study, we're going to cover the question, do you have the Scriptures? Do you have the Scriptures? Do you have the very words of God? If so, then they must be given by inspiration. Before we go too far into this lesson, note, for Timothy to have known the Scriptures from the time he was a child, Paul, the Apostle Paul, could not have been talking about some lost originals. Since Timothy was not around when Moses wrote the first 5 books of the Bible, in fact, we know that he was not around when the writer of Job wrote Job. If Timothy was around, then he would be well over 2,000 years old at the time Paul wrote this letter to him. Thus, by the time Timothy was a child and into his adult life, the originals were long gone. Over 50 times the word Scripture occurs in the Bible. Never is it a reference to some lost original. As we get into our study now, do you have the Scriptures? We ask this question. Can the Scriptures be in more than one place at a time? Can the scriptures be in more than one place at a time? We know, according to the Word of God, that the Ethiopian eunuch that got saved by Philip witnessing to him had the scriptures. Turn to Acts chapter 8 with me, if you would. Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, let's first look at verse 32. And we read in the Word of God in Acts chapter 8, verse 32, the place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. And then in Acts chapter 8, let's look at verse 35 together. Acts chapter 8, verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture. See that? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. They were reading, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch were reading from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7 of our Lord Jesus Christ. No doubt, they did not have the original Isaiah, nor did they have the same scripture that Christ read from in Luke 4 when he read from Isaiah, unless it was stolen from the synagogue. So the scriptures can be in more than one place at a time. We see that Christ read from the scriptures in the synagogue. Please turn with me to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And in Luke chapter 4, look at verse 17 with me. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Look at in Luke 4 now, verse 21. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And of course, Christ read from chapter 61 of Isaiah, verses 1 and 2. And he stated they were scripture. Notice also that Paul the Apostle had the scriptures in Thessalonica. In Acts chapter 17, Paul is preaching at Thessalonica to the Jews and preaches from the scriptures. Notice with me, if you would. In Acts chapter 17, we'll look at verses 1 and 2 together. Acts chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them three Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the scriptures. We see scriptures were in Thessalonica. Scriptures were in the hands of the eunuch. Scriptures were in the synagogue with Christ. And Timothy knew the scriptures from his youth. We also see that Paul left Thessalonica unto Berea, and they also had the scriptures. We see there in the book of Acts chapter 17, the Bereans searched the scriptures daily. Look with me again in Acts chapter 17. In Acts chapter 17, we'll read verses 10 and 11. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and, here it is now, searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Note with me, please. They searched the scriptures daily. Thus, if they used them daily, the scriptures would be in Thessalonica and in Berea. two places at the same time. And they did not have any originals. They were long gone by then. If they were talking of the originals, how can everyone have the originals? How could the originals be in more than one place at a time? In Matthew chapter 22, and verse 29, we read in the Word of God, Jesus answered and said unto them, Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. Then in the Gospel of John in chapter 5, and verse 39, we read in the Word of God, Search the Scriptures, Jesus said, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. How can we search something we do not even have? How can we know something we do not even have? Do we have the Scriptures? We ask the question, and the answer is yes. We have them given to us in the King James Bible. Now, we ask the question, what are Scriptures? What are Scriptures? Well, first of all, they must have the inspiration of God. Second, they must have the breath of God. Thirdly, they are alive because they have the breath of God in them. Amen. Notice with me in the book of Job, in chapter number 32 and verse 7, the Word of God says, I said, days should speak, and multitudes of years should teach wisdom. Now in verse 8 of Job 32, but there is a spirit of man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. This is the only occurrence of the word inspiration in the Old Testament. In Job chapter 33 and verse 3, we read, My word shall be of the uprightness of my heart, and my lips shall utter knowledge clearly. The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. We see then, Job chapter 33 and verse 4, we read, The Spirit of God hath made me, in the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. We're going to stop right there, because our time is just about over here on the pastor's study. And we'll continue our study on what are the Scriptures next time. And this is Brother Gino Cassieri. So I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me for the Pastor's Study. Until we meet again on the Pastor's Study, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you. And good day.